Mark Weingartner writes about people lost in what he calls the rectangular states, the owners of Midwestern bowling alleys, the girlfriends of one-time basketball stars, people who set their trailers on fire. The most tragic characters in Mike Weingartner's latest book may be the denizens of universities, professors, writers, would-be writers. Weingartner ought to know. He's a college professor himself at Florida State University, and he joins us now from WFSU in Tallahassee. Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much.
What drew you to write about twisted losers teaching at colleges in middle America?
Yeah, they say write what you know, huh? It's funny because I certainly haven't very often written about academia. And then, you know, as you even mentioned in your introduction, there's stories in this book about people who set their trailers on fire and people who work in academia. And by and large, I think, you know, the average person should place more trust in people who set their trailers on fire. So, you know, having come from, you know, I have this theory that I may be the greatest of all American writers to have been born and raised in a trailer, which, granted, isn't necessarily the most stiff competition in the world. But, you know, I really, you know, having grown up in blue-collar rural setting and find myself spending my adult life in academia, I don't find them really all that different.
In these three stories, in the middle of the book, you write about professors, people who, for the most part, make a living writing stuff that nobody ever reads, not even their colleagues.
Yeah, no, that is one of the, I mean, almost everything in those stories, well, almost none of them are, almost nothing in those stories is autobiographical. Almost everything in those stories are based on something somebody told me about some college professor somewhere. And there is a sort of subculture of college professors. We all sort of love our jobs and complain about them in inverse proportion, I guess, to how difficult they are. But by the same token, you know, get a few professors from different universities going on, tell me the most, your greatest tale of academic lunacy, and you'll be in that bar for a while.
And yet I wondered if maybe that was why you felt so comfortable writing such horrible things about professors. You figured none of your other fellow professors were ever going to read what you wrote anyway.
There is some truth to that. You know, the certainly less true, I guess, where I teach now at Florida State University, but at some other universities, I thought we were all theoretically publishing things, a lot more than others, I guess, but it was almost a given that people wouldn't read each other's work. You know, when I joined the first English department I was ever a professor in, the first year there, I made a point of reading at least an article by everybody, and I think I kind of freaked people out, and I was just trying to get to know them and get to know their work, but I think that people thought I had some kind of evil ulterior plan that I was going to poke holes in their arguments and start picking fights with, you know, various Derridian and Gustavian and other forms of criticism I basically didn't care about. I was just trying to say, you know, hi.
One of the stories in this collection is called The Visiting Poet. It is about a professor who sleeps, it is said, with an average of two or three students every year, year after year after year, a creative writing professor. He thinks of them as Christinas. And Mark Weingartner, I wonder if you could read for me the description of Christinas, the paragraph that begins on the bottom of page 63.
That's who takes poetry workshops at pricey church-run schools, Christinas. Transpose the eighth and ninth letters, and what irony, willowy Christinas, dressed in black, with too much makeup or none at all, vegetarians, recyclers, smokers. Christinas are outside time. They exude uninjured, tragic beauty. They are the hippest young women at the squarest old schools, a plight from which Murtaugh offers brief deliverance.
Mark Weingartner, reading from his book, That's True of Everybody. Murtaugh, the person you name at the end there, is the professor in question who's continually sleeping with his students, and you go on to report that once he gets them into bed, he has them recite the lyrics to the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have their hobbies, don't they?
You get a sense of a really unhealthy relationship between college professors and the people they're supposed to be teaching and the professors themselves,
well, even. The thing about Murtaugh, and the story is, and I think the whole cycle of stories kind of talk about some of the things that have changed in academia over the last 10 or 15 years, and that story is expressly set in the early 90s. And part of the perks of the job is the way they saw it was to have these inappropriate romantic relationships, something that I think would be virtually impossible anymore, which is an all good thing. The shock when you're a young person in academia to realize that these people are, they're not a more exalted life form, that's for sure. You know, there's no petty, more political place in America than a college university faculty.
Some people think of colleges as being a cloistered world, kind of isolated from reality, and I know in many ways it is, but I guess for a writing professor it can be kind of brutal, can it? You have to
publish. You do have to publish, although I think for a writing professor it's publish or perish. It's kind of a matter of please don't throw me in that briar patch. I mean, you know, the average young writer taken into a department is told, well, listen, you're going to have to do some writing or we're going to fire you. You know, just sort of laughs and thinks, you know, look, I've worked other jobs. You know, I could be out there, you know, working as a lumberjack or tending bar or working as a male prostitute or things that are actual work. I mean, you're asking me to get up in front of a room full of people and talk about books that I love and you're going to pay me. And the downside is I have to write.
One of the funniest, saddest, most pathetic, most poignant moments in this embrace of three stories is the moment in which you find out that there's a professor, he's an older man named Keegan. He's been a professor for a long time. He's a terrible, terrible writer, and his colleagues discover that at some point in his career he nominated himself for the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, the thing about the Nobel Prize, that actually is based on a true story about this guy who, like the character in the story, was indeed a hopelessly befuddled hobby poet who'd kind of gotten credit for being a real poet at the university where he taught until the rules did change and the university employed a couple of people who'd actually published poems with publishers. They didn't have to pay to print the books. After this poet passed on, he donated all his papers to a university library, and among the papers he donated to posterity was this kind of humiliating letter from the Nobel Committee saying that it was, in fact, impossible to nominate oneself for the prize.
I wish that story wasn't true.
I know. I wish it weren't true, too. But it's one of those things where you hear the story and you just think, man, I just have to use that someday.
Mark Weingartner's collection of stories is called That's True of Everybody. Mark, thanks very much for taking the time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.